My prayer for you as we go on and we hopefully find more lanterns and add more lights is that you'll see the difference that it can make. And sometimes you think, it's just me. How can I possibly make a difference? Well, it's not just you. It's Jesus in you. And when we think about it, it's just me, then we minimize what the power that God has for all of us. And we want to learn a little bit more about that today as we look at the topic of encouragement. And so I want to read for you a passage in your Bible, and you don't necessarily have to turn there, but it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 to 13. It says, "But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and the Lord Jesus Christ clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so you'll be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones." It's an awesome passage that captures Paul's relationship with a group of believers, in this case in Thessalonica. But really, you can read about Paul's relationships to believers all around the place. Now, the idea of encouragement, I need to just pause for a second, because last week in my message about greeting one another, I called out a couple of people. And some people came to me after and said, why did you make fun of Tim and Jeff like that? Is that really deserving? And so that's the problem when you kind of speak into a crowd, right? Maybe you don't necessarily know who Tim and Jeff is. Well, so here's the thing. Last week, Tim and Jeff Vanderslot, who are in the service today, but last week they were tabulating, so they were out of the service. They didn't actually know that I was saying it, which is probably some of the reason why people thought, is that fair for you to do that? So while I was saying that, this is what they were doing. Do we have that? It's there. We're innocent. This is what they were doing. That is not my hair when I go to El Salvador. That is a drawing of my head. And so for those of you who thought I was being unjust, unfair, to call them out while they weren't here, this is what they were doing while I wasn't here. While they weren't here. Jeff is... So I just wanted to clear that up. And so you might notice that I'm growing my hair this winter. And so we're talking about, in addition to some of the votes that we're going to have at our annual meeting, perhaps we should vote on whether I go Mohawk or not. I'd be curious. I'm not sure I'd be welcome at home. Anyway, thank you, Will. So that's what was happening there. At that point in time. So then if you think, okay, as I'm speaking, so now you appreciate, as I'm speaking on a Sunday and you see Tim and Jeff walk out to tabulate, could you imagine what goes through my mind when we just set them free back there on their own? Anyway, so today we talk about encouragement, right? So we're back to encouragement. Let me ask you simply this. What does encouragement mean to you? To encourage means what? To encourage means what? Because in our own minds, the idea of encouragement can change depending on what we're used to. So what does it mean to you? What does to encourage mean to you? And so from today we want to answer that from a biblical perspective. Hey, what does encouragement mean? Encouragement means, literally, it means to come alongside of someone. Often, encouragement in the New Testament is equated to comfort or counsel. To encourage carries the idea of building up, of strengthening, or getting ready for battle, fitting for battle. So let me ask you this question then. What is it that we need strengthening in? Is there a battle that we face? Is there an area of our life where we need comfort or counsel? If that is the case, then the biblical understanding of encouragement is necessary in each of our lives. And I would be hard-pressed to believe that there isn't any of us who at some level have a need for some of that. How does that take place? Well, that's what we want to look at today. So today I just simply want to share with you seven simple ways that encouragement can change our lives. Seven simple ways that encouragement can change our lives. And I stress the "our" part again because these are one another statements. And in that passage that I read to you from 1 Thessalonians, you'll notice that Paul, in his circumstance, was encouraged by the faith of the Thessalonians, and then he also gave encouragement to them. Encouragement, there's a mutuality of encouragement, a back and forth of encouragement that is vital. It doesn't necessarily always exist in the exact same time, but there's a necessary part of it. And so it's important to listen, not just what about me, but about us, about our, about one another. This isn't the I series. This is a one another series. And so as we listen together. So seven simple ways that encouragement changes our lives. And the first is that encouragement is who we are. And I'm going to do something a little different this morning than I normally do. And normally we kind of anchor ourselves in one passage. But this morning I'm going to kind of encourage you to flip through a number of different passages with me. And we're going to start in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And the reason for this is that encouragement is such a vast topic, and it kind of happens in the exchange of relationship that it's hard to find just one passage that fully captures it all. And so the thought is, let's get a bigger picture of what God says about encouragement throughout much of Scripture here. And so we're going to start with really focusing on the poster child, if you will, for encouragement. And that is Barnabas, a man named Barnabas. Actually, his name is, when we first meet him, his name is Joseph. And so in Acts chapter 4, and verse 32, it says, "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in all of them that there was no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement." So his name was Joseph, but by the way he conducted himself, they said, "That's not your name. Here's your nickname. Your nickname is encouragement. Barnabas sold a field he owned, and he brought the money, and he put it at the apostles' feet." Barnabas is a nickname that indicates the manner in which he viewed other people. It's not, when we first meet him, it's not that he is in a one-on-one thing. It's the way he viewed this power, this promise of the power of the church, of people who assembled together in the name of Jesus. And it says that he surveyed what he had. He said, I'm going to sell this, what I have, and I'm going to entrust it to the leaders of the church, and so that they can use it to where it's needed the most. And in such a, imagine if you were a leader of the church when that happened. What an encouragement that would be to you. In fact, if you read your annual report, you'll find recognition of just that experience in our own church family. In certainly different ways. Sometimes it happens in ways that are small and not, though they're small, they're not insignificant. But sometimes they happen in much grander scales. And as we look back in 2015, we can recognize the work of the Lord in that, and the provision of a youth room, and the provision of the furnaces for the south end of our building. Because somebody thought not of themselves, but of the greater work of God among us. That's pretty cool. Encouragement is not something we do, it's who we are by virtue of our faith in Christ. And so as Barnabas goes along, we learn a lot more about him. In fact, the next thing that we learn, the second simple way that encouragement can change our lives is it helps us to look for the evidence of Christ's work in other people. And if you flip forward in Acts chapter 9, if you're going to stay with me in this, in Acts chapter 9, then you'll see in verse 26, it's talking about the Apostle Paul, who 3 years after he had the encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, places his faith in Christ. 3 years later, he comes to the disciples in chapter 9, verse 26, and said, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. And so Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. When everybody else was afraid, and justifiably so, because if you flip back even a chapter or two, you recognize that when Stephen was being stoned for his faith, it says that Saul was there watching on and giving his approval. And the reason that Saul was going up to Damascus was to persecute or kill more Christians, more of those who were believing in Jesus. But God intervened in his life and changed his heart. And you would think then, understandably, that makes them hard to believe that the change had taken place. This guy who once wanted to kill us now says he's on our side. And when we look at people solely on a horizontal plane, when we look at people only based on the surface of what we see, we can make some grave mistakes. And Barnabas was wise enough to take some time to listen to his words, to maybe hear his story, and to understand that, yeah, Christ really is making a difference in this guy's life, his 3 years later. And he puts his arm around him, he escorts him, and he says, I commend him to you. Listen to him. Thirdly, encouragement is also, and this most importantly, is the work of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we think that encouragement is just being nice, that encouragement is being polite, that encouragement is being complimentary. But ultimately, encouragement is the work of the Holy Spirit. And if you flip over to Acts chapter 11, you'll see something here. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 22. Now, we're in the passage we were just in. The disciples and Barnabas and Paul, they were all in Jerusalem. And now they want to start a church in Antioch. And says, news of this in verse 22 of chapter 11 says, news of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged there. He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. This description of Barnabas, that he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, is a very important descriptor. Because when we talk about encouragement, we talk about the idea, we're going to talk about coming alongside of, comforting, counseling, those kinds of concepts, those kinds of ideas, those are the attributes that are first given to the Holy Spirit of God. When Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to flip back to John chapter 14. It's one book back in your Bible, probably 20 or 25 pages for you if you want to see some of this. I think this is really important for you to understand. When Jesus talks about the work of the Holy Spirit, the descriptor that he often uses is one of encouragement. To encourage, to counsel. Some of your Bibles say comfort. Some of them say advocate. The idea of the work of the Holy Spirit encouraging our lives, building us up, strengthening us. So in John chapter 14 and verse 16, Jesus says this. He says first in 15, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." So God's promise is that as we desire to honor him, that he gives us the gift of the Spirit, which counsels us, advocates for us, helps us to make sense of life. And if you keep in that chapter to chapter 20, verse 26, verse 25 says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." Admittedly, sometimes we open this book up and it's a little bit confusing as to what we're reading. God's promise is that because of the activity of his Spirit who shares his nature, he will help us to make sense of the things that we are reading. He will help us to make sense of it in a way that is in keeping with the character of God, because he shares that same character, that same essence. Same thing in chapter 15, in verse 26. He says, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." So God says one of the roles of the Holy Spirit then is to help you remember the life of Jesus. It's helped to remind you of the example of Jesus in our lives. And then one more there in chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove to the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people don't believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where he can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned." And so when we talked about at the beginning, the idea of having some confusing things happening, or some disappointing things, some things that trouble us, some things that cause us doubt, one of the reasons why we stay in that is because we avoid the counsel that the Holy Spirit can, only the Holy Spirit can give to us. Encouragement is the work of the Holy Spirit. To come alongside of, to counsel, to comfort, to advocate, to help us make the right call is really what that means. It requires a willingness for those of us who, by virtue of faith in Christ, like Barnabas, have the Holy Spirit within us. It then requires us to change our pace in order to effectively come alongside of someone, to come alongside them at their pace. It requires a willingness to be flexible with our time in order to respond to the needs of others in their time. It requires the intentionality of listening. So fourthly, encouragement also strengthens the faith of others. Do you ever have that feeling that, should I say something, should I not say something? And then that time goes by and you said, oh, I should have said something. I should have said it. You kind of notice something and you know you think you feel you should, and then that moment slips by and you think, ah, maybe I missed it. Encouragement is valuable because it strengthens the faith of others. And as you look, continue to look at the relationship of Barnabas and Saul. Now, when we last checked in, Barnabas went to Antioch and started to be the pastor there. He recognized a need, and so in verse 25 it says, Barnabas then went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught a great number of people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So not only did Barnabas see Saul, who's now Paul, by virtue of his acceptance of Jesus Christ, and say to the others, hey, this guy is now following Christ. We should give him some space. We should trust what God is doing in his life. Not only does he say that, he actually embodies that. Because when it was time for him and he had a need of a teacher, he went and he got Saul. Imagine how strengthening, how important, how uplifting that would have been to Paul starting out in his young life as a new believer, 3 years into his faith in Christ. How pivotal that would have been to recognize, hey, I do have something to offer. These are the gifts that I have to offer. That's a really cool thing. Barnabas just demonstrates humility by calling on Saul to come to Antioch. It's a selfless recognition of his own gifts. He could have said, I can do this by myself. But it's also a humility to recognize the gifts that God has given to Saul. And so he exemplifies that by then coming alongside of him and co-teaching with him in Antioch for this year. When we encourage one another, we call one another to accept and apply God's strength and to put our faith into practice. That is so key. The capacity, you don't really understand just by simple measures of action and words, what we can do to stimulate the faith of others. And so this morning I want to invite Pat Halls to come up and just share a story from El Salvador. Pat was on our team. Actually, he's been on our El Salvador team for each of the last 3 years. And it's been awesome to get to know him in that context, and then beyond, and his heart for the Lord, and just something that speaks right into this the idea of encouraging the faith of others through this. So, Pat, you're equipped. Good.
I'm equipped.
Yeah. Here.
Okay.
Is that good?
Yep. Pastor Dave has mentioned, I've been blessed by God to be able to be a member of the team for the last 3 years, going to El Salvador. This year, on the very first day we arrived, as our normal practice is, we try to attend a worship service. And this year, we were able to attend the worship service in Rio Frio, the congregation where Pastor leads the congregation. And I think many of us have heard of us speak of Pastor before. At that service, though, a very moving experience, a surprise to me, happened. And this is the experience Pastor Dave asked me to speak about today. Most of you have heard about our 2014 trip, how our team was a fairly small team of 11, and we were the first to go into this new community. This was you probably also heard about how difficult this trip was, because it was the remotest community that I believe Shelter has gone to. To talk about how difficult it was, you know, have to put it in things. Each day consisted of about 4 hours standing in the back of truck, bouncing over, I won't call them roads, paths, bumpy trails, just to get to where we were going. Then once you got there, You weren't there. Many times you had to unload the truck and go for a hike. Some of the hikes were longer than others. The longest ones were over half an hour carrying the equipment, some of them down a very steep mountainside. Took about half an hour down the mountainside, a rocky trail. Twyla did that this year. Congratulations. Very physically demanding trip. After that trip ended, as we always do, we have a debriefing session about a month after we get back to just talk about all the experiences, make sure everything's good with people. And at that meeting, God led Pastor Dave to ask a question I don't believe he'd ever asked before. He asked the question, do you think we should go back to that exact same community? Now, I don't know what put that thought in Pastor Dave's head, and I don't know how God led the rest of us to say, yes, we should go back. It was a very difficult trip, but we said yes. But I do know that that was a God-led decision. Because the very first day we got back, we go to this worship service with Pastor, and we learn in his sermon that after we had left, really a great sadness had fallen over the community there. And I believe even Pastor himself, because they did not believe anyone would ever come back again. They felt they had worked this too hard, that the trip was too difficult. We found in his service that many of the people in Rio Frio had never climbed that mountain, and yet we had been there. The fact that we had returned was a huge encouragement to them. I cannot explain in words how I felt. He glorified God with intensity. The joy and the hope grew in that congregation. We had not lifted a hammer. We had not put in a screw. All we had done so far was come back to their community a second time. And God was glorified and praised for that. I will say the encouragement was not limited to their congregation, though, as I was also greatly encouraged knowing that this simple act God could take and do great things with. God can do great things with all of our lives if we just let him lead the way.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it. Simple act of encouragement, just the willingness to respond to what God is doing, just blew us away. That was a great surprise. And just to know that God was at work last January when we got together with our 2014 team, what a profound effect that had on them, and what a profound effect it had on us. It just really motivated us through the course of the week, and you could see it in the faces of those in the community. And so thank you, Pat, for sharing that. Thank you for sharing your heart. Pat's response to my request for him to come and share this was, I might cry. And as we've gotten to know Pat over the course of the last 3 years, we accept that. In fact, it's just he's got such a great love, and it just spills out over, and awesome having him as part of the team. And it's one of the reasons why we do this is so that we can learn how Jesus is at work in each of us and the encouragement that we get from each other. Sometimes it's not what we say, but it's our obedience in our actions of faith that encourage others. We all don't necessarily have the capacity to speak the right words at the right time, but we do have the capacity to make God-honoring choices in our life. And every time we make a God-honoring choice in our life, it helps encourage somebody else, whether you know it or not, to make a God-honoring choice in their life. Encouragement also, fifthly, focuses our attention on our hope on eternity. The book of Thessalonians, both 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, speak to that fact several times. I read for you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 6, it also says the same, reminds us of the same thing. If we only deal with life from an earthly, temporal perspective, only dealing with what we can see and hear and feel on our own, in our own strength, then we will be forever frustrated. But to recognize that God gives us a greater hope that allows and enables us to do the things we never thought we could do because of who he is, not because of who we are. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16, it says this, "May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, may he encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word." That is the promise. That is the prayer for Paul for these believers, is that they would be strengthened in eternal encouragement that we have, knowing that in the present time, things are gonna not make sense sometimes. We're gonna struggle, we're gonna put ourselves up against some things by our own choices or by the choices of others. But God, in his faithfulness, God, in the strength of his Spirit, wants to give us a bigger picture, a better perspective, something to motivate us for. And that's exactly what happened in that church service that day in December. All of a sudden, we all, Salvadorians and Canadians alike, recognized that God was painting a bigger picture, the picture of eternity, and we were just caught in the middle of it, unknowingly. It was powerful. One of the most repeated phrases in all of Scripture is, "Be strong and courageous." God says to many people, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid." Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. It's one of the most repeated phrases in all of Scripture. Why would he say that? Because there's times where we feel weak, and there's lots of times where we feel discouraged and disheartened, and there's lots of times where we feel afraid. But he doesn't say, "Have strength and have courage and get over your fear." He says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid." And there's one more phrase that he says, "For I am with you." I am with you. I am with you. That's the promise that he gives us by virtue of our faith in Jesus Christ, that Jesus sends the Holy Spirit into our lives to accompany us through life's journey. Number six, that encouragement is a tangible demonstration of love. We, not too long ago, just went through the book of Hebrews, or some of the middle chapters of Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 24, it says this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on, encourage one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." The reason we come together is not because of it's a convenient time and we all just happen to be here. The reason that we come together is to encourage each other in our faith, to remind each other to be faithful in the actions that we take, and to prepare ourselves for that time when the Lord will return. That God will return, and that he will rescue us, and he will redeem us, and he will restore the world to its perfect order. He will punish sin, and he will reward the faithful. And for us, there is no greater purpose to get together other than that. That is why we assemble together. There is a mutuality that we talked about at the beginning that we miss out on if we limit these statements to just what we can see and hear and feel around us. God is greater than that, and he desires more for you than that. And lastly, maybe you've been listening to this and you think, all right, so how much? How often? Tell me how much I should encourage somebody. And should I encourage them only if up until this amount of time, only in these circumstances? How often? Does anybody ever have that problem? You look at somebody, I can't do that. They really aren't worth encouraging, whether in word or by being an example. You just want to give up on that. Well, Jesus, the writer of Hebrews, says in chapter 3, in verse 13, he says, we have come to share Christ, if indeed, encourage one another daily. Let me start in verse 12, sorry. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That's a pretty steep statement. What is today? Today? Is it today? Or is today yesterday? You're confused by the question. Today is actually today. Tomorrow will be today tomorrow. It'll be today. And in fact, Tuesday will be today on Tuesday all day long. Every day is today. And God's instruction to us then is to encourage each other every single day, as long as it's still today. So if you check your calendar, if you got one of those fancy watches or you got one of those fancy phones, smartphones, just check it. And does it say that it's today? If it says that it's today, then you still need to encourage. Imagine Paul, the writer of Hebrews, wrote that before even smartphones, to keep track of our days. But as long as it's called today, you can put a little reminder, a little to-do list, and you can repeat it every day. Encourage one another. You can do that. Never give up. Never give up on that. Because the reminder is this: sin is so deceitful. Sin is so deceitful. It tricks us into believing that living for Christ is not worth it, that making faithful choices is not worth it, that investing ourselves in those things that count for eternity that are not worth it. But as long as it's today, then may we be the ones to encourage each other through word and through action to live lives that honor the Lord, to never give up in doing so. And what if you think one of the hard parts that makes encouragement difficult for all of us is this? Some of us don't want to hear it because we take offense to it. If somebody gives us an encouragement, we think, what? I need fixing? I got something wrong with me? You don't like the way I am? This is who I am. So we resist that. We're not open to it. And that's the deceitfulness of sin that tells us we don't need to be taught by anything else. We have nothing else to learn. And all of us, because we are human, because we are prone to fail, because we are prone to sin, we need the counsel and encouragement that comes through the Spirit's work in other people. And God, by virtue of His Spirit, often teaches us through the lives of others. May we be attentive to that. In 1 John chapter 2, it says this: my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the world. Encouragement is sorely lacking. We tend to minimize it by just being nice, complimenting, or saying nothing at all because we're afraid. We tend to resist it because we think we got things together. We tend to resist it because we don't want to be taught. We're not teachable. And yet, the reminder is that in the deceitfulness that comes within sin, Jesus himself is also an advocate. So we have Jesus as our advocate, Jesus as our walking beside us, and the God and the Holy Spirit walking with us so that we will live lives to honor God. How great is that? Did you know you had such company as you went through the day? Wouldn't that change your everyday today if you knew that you had Jesus and the Holy Spirit walking with you, helping you to decipher, helping you to make sense of what you're reading in God's Word? That changes your perspective. I think sometimes we forget that. That's how incredible the love of God is towards us, that he doesn't want us to walk alone, that he desires us to break free of the sin that entangles us and to live lives in freedom that display the fullness of his glory towards others. And when we do, even in simple acts, it changes the way we feel about who Jesus is, and it changes the way the others view about who Jesus is. So I don't know where you're at in all of that today. But may God encourage you to live faithfully for him. And may he use you to be an encouragement to others. And may you not take for granted. May you not individualize this faith that he's entrusted to us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace towards us. We thank you, Father, for never giving up on us. But most of all, God, we thank you for walking with us. Thank you for teaching us day by day through your word. Forgive us, Father, for neglecting your word and thinking that we can just make this out on our own. Father, forgive us for being closed to the way in which your Spirit sends messages through the people around us. Father, forgive us for neglecting to encourage through word. Father, forgive us for being a false representation of what it means to follow you. And this morning, Father, I also pray for those who perhaps need encouragement or caught in despair and yet have never placed their faith and trust in you. I pray, God, that you would allow them to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit this morning. I pray, Father, that you would change their lives and that you would encourage their hearts because of their time spent with you, because of what you have done for them. Thank you for never leaving us alone. Thank you that Jesus accompanies us and the Holy Spirit accompanies us, counsels us, and helps us to make sense of all these things. Father, find us worthy. Use us in the lives of each other, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.